Welcome David Casale back to Blacknell and to Blacknell's pulpit. Paul Shihamba assisted in the service. Paul and Andrea are part of our life here at Blacknell, but Paul is also serving on the board of Congo Initiative, as is Colin Rogers Gates. So we're privileged to have those kinds of connections. But perhaps I could just ask the board for Congo Initiative if you would stand for a moment and allow the rest of the congregation to see who you are. They have been meeting here for the last couple of days, and I guess today brings your board meeting to a conclusion. Is that correct? Well, we're always glad to host, and we hope that you'll feel welcome to come anytime. David Casale is the past president and founder of Congo Initiative, and he has had a prophetic ministry in Congo. He will give you a little bit more about his background in just a moment. But for a number of years now, we have been attempting to do something that stretches our imagination, a congregation in Durham, North Carolina, connecting with a congregation in Eastern Congo. How many of you have visited the work that's going on in Eastern Congo? I know a few of you have. Are you here this morning? One, two, three. There's room for more of you to go. I'm sure that that David and Cassie would welcome you to come, especially as things continue to change in Congo for the better in this particular season, as you will hear in a moment. But it's our privilege to welcome David to the pulpit this morning to bring God's word. I'm going to read the text from Ezekiel chapter 37 and invite you to follow along. You can find it on page 865 of your Bibles there in the pews. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. Listen to God's word. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out of the out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. David?
Jumbo. For those who do not know it, Jambo simply means jungle. My father served the Lord for over 60 years and went to be with the Lord. My brother served the Lord for over 40 years and went to be with the Lord. I believe that with Jesus, they are waiting for us in heaven. And one day when the Lord brings His church, I believe that the Lord Jesus will welcome us with a big jumbo. So good to be with you today, but you guys are late in church. My people in Beni came to church 7 hours ago. How beautiful that will be in heaven when we all come together. That date will not be the Congolese church, the Chicago church, or Black Knoll church. It will be one church of Jesus Christ. So happy to be here with my wife. And with the board members of Congo Initiative, we want to thank you, Black Knoll Church, for being with us and working with us in this adventure of faith. I was sitting there with the pastor this morning as we were sharing, and the pastor said, how did this come? That the church from way in America, Black Knoll, would be connected to us in Africa, very far in Beni. That must be God. That must be God. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring up from them. I will bring you back to your own land. Then my people will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. That I, the Lord, have done it, declares the Lord. Amen. Speak to us, dear Lord, for we, your people, are waiting and listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel 37 is an amazing story of hopelessness, of deep despair, but also an amazing story of God's grace of restoration. As I read the story of Ezekiel, it's as if God is writing that story of my people, the Democratic Republic of Congo. We have known nothing but hopelessness and despair. It is almost synonymous of Congo. Synonymous of the life that my people have lived. From 1996 to 2002, after genocide in Rwanda, the whole war spilled over in Congo, and in this time of a few years, it's estimated that over 5 million people, Congolese, died. Yes, you heard me well, 5 million. Directly from violence, indirectly from lack of medicine and lack of food. For me, it was not 5 million, it was my big brother, Josiah, who died during that time. It's my younger sister, Janine, who died at that time. It is my niece, who was pregnant and could not run away and just open her womb and kill her. We returned to Congo and said, let's go back and see what God will do over there. And we started Congo Initiative in 2007. Things seemed to be going well from 2007 to 2014. In August, in October of 2014, people we do not know, the identity started coming around the city of Beni where we live and killing unprotected people. Gruesome killing, machete and 20 people at the same time, 10, 30. From October 2014 to this time is still happening, and over 3,000 people have been killed. They came close to our campus in Beni and they killed 8 people around our campus and they destroyed glasses in one of the windows and took away over 20 goats that we were raising. And we were forced to relocate our campus, our beautiful campus, to go to a town campus. As though that was not enough, in August of last year, the Ebola virus started in and around Beni. God, how much can a people take? As I speak, Ebola is still going on. It has taken over 2,000 lives. In June, our new president changed the team that is fighting against Ebola and took the leadership of fighting Ebola in his own office, and suddenly, starting July, the numbers of cases started going down. Joel and Espe are graduates of our university, and they had a young man finishing high school, staying with them. The young man went out and touching people and what, and came home and had high temperature and went to the hospital and high temperature. No, the Ebola people came and took him, and within 24 hours, the young man was dead. Two university students were staying with Espe and Joel, and we felt that they needed to get vaccine quickly, and they got vaccine, and 3 days after vaccine, they went to be tested, and the temperature was high, and they took them to the Ebola center where you are hidden there. They see you only through the glasses, and by God's miracle, they were healed. In May, my wife and I, we decided to get the vaccine because we minister a lot among people. And praise God, we are there. Within 24 hours, if you're not dead, you're okay. So we are okay. Don't worry about us. In June, my brother-in-law was suffering from prostate cancer and was going toward the end of his life, and was kept in a village, and my wife insisted, let's take him to the clinic. And the family said, no, they will take him to the Ebola center. We don't want him to go over there. And my wife insisted that we should give him a decent death. And took him to the Ebola, to the clinic, and arriving to the clinic, immediately the Ebola people came and took him. His case was so advanced that at night he died, and the family was angry against my wife. You see, we'll talk to it. We told you that. And in the morning, our family, we all went there and to take the body and go for funeral. They said, you cannot take the body until we test if it's Ebola or not. Tested for the first time, it was negative. But no, we have to test for the second time, and that will take 6 hours until the afternoon. No, we want our body, we want to bury the body. No, you cannot, but you can come and see the body through the glasses. So the whole family went to see the body from the glasses, and the daughters were the first to see the body, and they started crying. That's not our daddy. Our daddy is not a woman. That brought it. Body of a woman there. That's how messy we are. God, do you know what you are doing? How much can a people take? Friends, this message of Ezekiel 37 is for my people and it's for me. You are in the United States of America. You are okay, aren't you? You don't experience what we are going through, do you? Maybe you do. What about you individually? What is keeping you awake at night? What's keeping your family in fighting? What about your nation? No, your nation is okay. I believe that Ezekiel 37 is an invitation to you and to me. That God is inviting you today. God is inviting me to come and see. To come and believe. And to come and experience. To come and see the desolation, the hopelessness, and come and believe in God's power of restoration. And come not only be from far, but come and experience it. 2 things, as we come and see, come and believe, and come and experience, 2 things. Number one, it is all about God. It is all about God. This chapter is showing the power of God in restoration, in renewal of a situation that is desperate. It starts with God's judgment. Ezekiel, from the beginning there, showing God's judgment. Israel had sinned, and the people of Israel have been taken into captivity, and the presence of God has departed from the temple. And then the temple, once the presence of God is departed from the temple becomes vulnerable and the temple is destroyed. The judgment of God. But it's also about God's restoration. It's about God's restoration. The message of this text, which is the message of the whole of Ezekiel, is this: although Israel is brought to exile and God's temple is destroyed, although the situation is desperate and hopeless, God is still in control of his world. I wish people would say amen. Amen. God is still in control, whatever the situation. Friends, that is the reason why we are still in Congo. Because we believe whatever the situation, Ebola or non-Ebola, security, insecurity, God is in control. Whatever you are going through as individual, whatever you are going through as family, whatever you are going through as nation, as our nation in Congo, whatever you are going through, God remains in control. The second message here is that those who threaten God's people will be defeated in the end. Those who threaten God's people will be defeated in the end. The next message, the third message, is that God will renew the hearts of his people, refresh all their life, and bring restoration and hope all over again. Friends, there is still hope. It is about God. It's about his judgment. It's about his restoration. But he says there, then you will know that the Lord your God has spoken. Then you will know it's about God's glory. That people will know when Congo is restored, people will know that that must be God. I love your country. I love your roads. You're hardworking people. But this country was built by men and women who trusted in God. They were not holy, they were not perfect, but they trusted in God, and they wrote on their currency, "In God we trust." I still believe that this country is still standing strong because of God. Not because you work hard. Not because of the White House. But because of God. Because of you. And when you will stop putting your eyes on God, I'm not a prophet of doom. I hope that you will continue to teach your children not to trust in your economy, not to trust in your military power, but to continue to trust in God. Any weekend, Friday in my country, in Beni, people are in the church praying and worshiping and overnight worshiping and praying. Any Friday, Around our house in Beni, there are about 3-4 churches. And at night, sometimes I want to go and tell them, "Please be quiet, I cannot sleep." Yes, we may be in a hopeless situation. Yes, security might be there. Yes, Ebola might be there, but God is there too. And people continue to believe. It's not only about God. This story of Ezekiel 37 is not just about God. It is God associating human beings in the story of restoration. It is a dialogue, a partnership between God and a human being. God inviting us into his story of restoration. It's all about God, yes, but it's all about us too. It's all about Ezekiel. It's all about agents, God's agents of change. And there are three things about God's agents of change, human agents of change. There are three things about them. One is identification. The second one is faith. And the third one is action. If you want to partner with God in his action of restoration, these three things must come. The first one is identification. In verse 1 we read, the hand of the Lord was on me. The hand of the Lord was on me to bless me? No. Call me to identify with the desperate situation. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among the bones. And I saw, come and see, I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry. That is the story of the Bible. The identification, an incarnation, and being and seeing, and come and see, come and smell. Yes, God, when we came to study in America way back there, there was this song that people used to sing in the church. God, I want to serve you, but please don't send me to Africa. You know what, Black? No. God has sent you to Africa. There's no mission without identification. Sometimes I tell people in America, don't give me your money if you can't give me your heart. If you can't identify with my people, if we cannot be together, the people of God. Then that goes quickly from identification to faith. To faith. In verse 3, he asked me, God asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can you analyze the situation? Can you take the situation in the laboratory and see the situation? Is it doable or undoable? What does your computer say? What does your app tell you about the situation? Nothing. I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. He's not saying, Sovereign Lord, you know. No. He's saying, Lord, you alone. Who else? Who else? Don't ask me. The situation is so desperate that I don't know. Friends, we should not worry when our faith sometimes goes through uncertainty. When sometimes we doubt God, actually I'm not doubting, but the situation is so desperate, I don't know. Sometimes obedience has to come before faith. Faith has to follow obedience. That's why God, good God, he does not rebuke him and he say,
prophesy. You do not know, but do something about it. Identification, faith, and action. Friends, don't wait until you feel strong, until you feel ready to act. If God said it, do it. In that party, wedding party, and the wine was over, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and comes to Jesus, and Jesus, there's no wine, it's finished, and Jesus says, Mama, what's wrong with me? No, Mama, don't. And the Mama still goes to people, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who knew her son, tells people whatever he says, do it. Friends, sometimes faith is crazy. I'm happy we left Nairobi long time ago to go to Congo when it was still in war then. I don't know if I will do it today. Some area of faith must be crazy. I don't know, but Lord, you are speaking to me and I want to obey. Faith will come later. There are people even here, pastor, in the church, and God is speaking to you, and you are analyzing too much. You know, many Christians back home, and my mother among them, they don't analyze the Bible too much. Sometimes I don't want to be a theologian. I just want to be like my mama. If God says it, do it. Maybe there are some people here who maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe he's telling you, prepare your passport. You have to go with Dr. Kasali to Congo. And you are saying, God, there's Ebola there. There's Ebola there. What is it that God has been speaking to you and been resisting and giving your mathematics? You guys are good in your computers and your science and all of that. And there's no science with God. All science is God. When he starts doing what God is saying, when obedience goes and Ezekiel starts prophesying, friends, Ezekiel starts hearing noises among the bones. The bones are speaking to each other. Did we hear God say bones come together? You, what did you hear? Are you still staying there, bone? The Bible says one bone after the other bone. And the other bone. And they start coming together at the word of the prophesying of Ezekiel. Friends, we are waiting for God. Maybe God is waiting for us. You are singing, God, I'm waiting for you until I'm satisfied. And maybe God is saying, I'm waiting for you until I'm satisfied. Maybe if the world is not changed today, it's because you are waiting too much. Many people in Congo tell us, do you think you are the ones who will change Congo? They tell our students, they tell our centers, do you think you are the ones who will change Congo? And we say, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, we will, with the power of God. 12 disciples. The bones came together. The tendons came together. The flesh came. And Ezekiel was waiting for more and nothing more was happening. Maybe he was discouraged because there's so much discouragement along the way. And God comes back and says, what's going on? No, God, breath is not yet there. But prophesy. What are you waiting for? Then he prophesies, and then the breath comes in. And a vast army of God's people, of Israel, alive. A It is said that there are three types of people. People who make things happen. People who see things happening. And people who wonder what is happening. With the Lord Jesus Christ, with the power of God, let us be the people who make things happen.